Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Brachos Daf Mem Dalad. We begin from the very top with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins. Heviu lufan of Maliach. If they bring in front of somebody Maliach. What is Maliach? So the Mepharshim explain, Rashi over here called David Maluach, something that's very salty. And they bring it betchila, the bachetz, the beis. Betchila, they bring it at the beginning of the meal. Upas imo, and they bring bread with it. Some of the Mepharshim bring down, this is also in dealing with the Peros Kinesar that we're going to be talking about in a moment. In any event, right now we're telling us the din, if you have a salty food and then the bread is accompanying it and the bread is tofel to it, so Mevarech HaMaliach, you actually only make the bracha on the Maliach Upoter Es HaPas, and that will exempt a bracha being made on the pas. Again, there's a very strange situation that the bread is actually the tofel. Normally the bread is everything and the bread is always, and that lemaisa is almost always what happens, but in this specific situation that you have this very salty food and the bread is just helping you to be able to tolerate the saltiness of the food, so then the bread is serving an accompanying purpose, is not the ikker, and you don't make a bracha on the bread. And the Mepharshim bring down from the Yofei 9 brings down the Yushalmi that when it says it's potter over here, it means from both a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. Sha'past tfeila lo. The pas is subordinate to it. And this is the rule. And we already learned this previously on Daf Lamed Hey, Zaklau. Kol shu ikar vimo tfeila. When you have a primary thing that you're eating and something subordinate to it, some of arachal ikar, you only make the bracha on the ikar thing, and you don't need to make a bracha on the subordinate thing. I gave the example many times of Cheerios and milk. So you only make a marmi mezonos on the Cheerios, you do not have to make a shahakal on the milk. And that's true even if you just have a spoonful of pure milk at one point in the eating of the Cheerios. Now, Gemara starts and says, is it ever that you have a salty food that's the primary thing and that you have bread as tofel to it? Does that really ever occur? So Gemara says, yes, it does. Amar Ravacha Breid Avira. Amar Ravashi, it happens in the one situation when you're eating Ba'ochle Peros Ginosar. When you're eating the peros that come from the Kinneret area. And these are the Peros Ginosar. The Marasha brings down that these are the same fruits that the Meraglim brought back. And they want to show that Eretz Yisrael is not a good land. Why? Because they're too good. The fruits are too sweet and they don't give you sustenance. They're not chayi nefesh. They're just luxurious. And that's why they actually were saying that Eretz Yisrael is bad, an amazing thing. And the Shar Mitzuyan Balach says, this whole Gemara that we're now going to go into is a very strange Gemara. He says, Maimer HaGemara Kan Tomua. The words of the Gemara here are very strange. He says the ultimate purpose over here is the very deep ideas that are being brought down by the Gemara that we may not understand, the Yechidim in every generation understand, but he says one thing is Ikar over here. We're praising Eretz Yisrael. The purpose of this Gemara is to understand the great praise of Eretz Yisrael. So there were these fruits from this Ginosar area in Eretz Yisrael. One of the reasons that it's called the Kinneret area is because it's sweet like a kinor. And these fruits were unbelievably great, as we'll see in the Gemara. And therefore, they had to be, in some way, the sweetness had to be neutralized, and that's why we would dafke eat Maliach after the 80s Peros Gnosar. And that's why Rashi says over here that these were Peros Eretz Yam Kinneret, Chashuvim in a Pas, they're more Chashuv than the Pas. But Tosus asks on this, he says, so then, wait a second, then why are we making the bracha on the Maliach? You should have made the bracha on the Peros. So Tosus gives an answer over here that you ate the Peros earlier, made a bracha on them, and now you're not feeling so good, so now you're eating the salt, you weren't expecting the salty food, and that's why you're talking about making a bracha on the salty food over here. However, the Rashash brings down and says, no, Rashi says that the salt was from the Peros Ginosa. This over here, the Maliach, includes the Peros Ginosa, that they were both sweet, and at the same time, they were also salty. In any event, Amar Rabba Bar Rachana, Ki Havi Azlina Basrei Rav Yochanan. A very interesting story. When Rabba Bar Rachana was following Rav Yochanan, he was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and he saw that Rav Yochanan was going Lamecha, Peros Ginosar, he was eating these fruits from the Ginosar region, so he said, when the Talmidim came to make sure that the Rebbe Rav Yochanan got enough food, Rav Yochanan elsewhere is described as being very beautiful, but he was also morbidly obese, and he ate a lot. So the Gemara says, Ki Havinon Bei Meya, if we had 100 Talmidim, that each of us, of the 100 Talmidim, would bring him 10 fruits. When there were only 10 of us, if we only had 10 Talmidim, then each of us would bring 100 fruits. And these fruits were huge. The gears that we have for every one of these 100 that they brought him, so the gears that we have is Havi Machzik Lutzono by Tlosu Savi, that each of them was able to be contained, the 100 fruits was able to be contained in a large container that could hold 3 saw, a very large amount. The gears from the Marshal brought down in the source of Shas over here is this Lo Havi Machzik Lutzono by Tlosu Savi, that even a container that holds 3 saw couldn't hold these 100 fruits. That's how big and how large they were. That's why I said the Marshal brought down the Meraglim. It says it took several Meraglim to carry a single cluster of grapes and some of these individual fruits. fruits. So they obviously, and Chazal tell us that when the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael lost some of the godless of the fruits over here. The Mefarshim also bring down that eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the Chadashim Gam Yishonim brings down that a person who eats the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, so he gets tremendous benefit from that, not only physically, but also for his neshama. In any event, what did they do? They brought to Rav Yochanan all these fruits. V'ochelhu, he ate from it. Umishtaba, and he swore the lotoyim ziona, that he didn't taste anything. In other words, as Rashi says over here, the word ziona is mashma, that he didn't even have anything to eat. The Gemara says, what? He didn't have anything to eat? Ziona sokadaita? He just ate 1,000 fruits over here. Either 10 people brought him 100 or 100 people brought him 10. How can he say he didn't eat anything? The Gemara says, elaima mizona. He didn't have anything. As Rashi says over here, dover asoi. It didn't fill him up. These fruits were so delicious, so luxurious. So nothing filled him up. That's how good and perfect they were. Rabbi Avohu achel adahava shorik le dudva meyapuse. Rabbi Avohu ate so much of these fruits over here that his whole body shone, so to say. The Beis Yosef brings down from the Yalkut Yosef that the peros were matar, his whole nefesh over here. He ate so much of them, and his yetzahara, which is the dudva over here, the zvuv, so to say, slid off him. In other words, it spiritually enhanced him as well. The simple thing over here is that it was oily. It caused his body to secrete oil that a fly would, so to say, slide off his surface. That's how great these fruits were. Ravami and Ravasi, these two great first generation Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. They would eat these fruits over here and their hair would fall out. That's how good they were. They were so sweet that their hair would fall out from eating these fruits. Rishon Lakish, when he ate these fruits, he would basically become delirious. Daito mitrefes, he ate them. They were so intoxicating to him that he basically lost his senses. And Vamalu Rav Yochanan and Dvei Nasiya, so Rav Yochanan had to tell the Dvei Nasiya, the leadership over there, Vavi Meshadile Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Balushe Abasre, and they had to send a whole legion of people to go after him, Maisele Beis, to bring him to his house. So I would say on my own, why did they have to send the whole troop over here? So Reish Lakish was known as being very, very strong. Many Gemaras talk about how strong he was, how physically, his great physical prowess, and therefore he was the gladiator par excellence. There are actually those poskim that say that he really was a gladiator. And when he originally was a raw armed robber, a gladiator, Rav Yochanan was able to talk sense into him and to make him become Reish Lakish. So in any event, they had to send the whole troop after him. Balushe, Rashi says over here, is Uchlase b'nei Odom. They had to send the whole legion of troops over here to go and bring back Reish Lakish. That's how strong he was. In any event, the Gemara says, Kiyosu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, and told the people in Babel, Omar, Ir Achas Haisalol Yana Yamelech, Behara Melech, there's one city that Yana Yamelech had in the Hara Melech. Shayumotziyim Yimeno Shishim Ribo Safli Tris Lakotis Eitainim, the Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. These people, the Mefarshim bring down over here, that they were going, and this is what the Marsha says, that they had to go and eat these fruits because they were collecting these fruits, and therefore they ate so much of that they needed to have this tris, this fish over here to that was salty, to go and negate the intoxicating properties of these unbelievably sweet fruits. So therefore, they would have over here shishim ribo, 600,000 bowls of these little fish, these salty fish, that were required each week, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, to sustain the huge number of workers and their huge appetites over here from the Peres Genosa. Kiyosu Ravin, Ravin came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, likewise, Omar, Ilan Echad, Yana Yamelech, Bar Hamelech, Yana Yamelech had over here in this place called Har Hamelech, one tree, and from that one tree, Hayom Arid, Mimenu, Arboim Saw Gozlos, Misholosh Brechos, Bechodesh, that they would have so many nests on these trees. That's what the foreign language word in Rashi over here is, this Kubiash. So the Metagram says it means nests. There were so many nests on these trees over here that they would produce all these birds, 40 saws worth of these gozlos, of these pigeons over here, from three brachos, from three sets of nests every month. That's how strong and great these trees were. Kiyosu Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar, Irach HaSosav Eretz Yisrael, there's one place in Eretz Yisrael, the Gufnishma, it was known as Gufnis. We'll see in a moment why it was called Gufnis. Shayubo Shmonim Zugos Achim Kohanim, there were 80 pairs of brothers that were Kohanim, so you had 160 Kohanim, 80 pairs of two brothers, not necessarily twins, Nisuim, and they married Lishmonim Zugos Achoyos Kohanos, and they married 80 pairs of sisters that were Bas Kohanim. So therefore, these 80 pairs of brothers, each pair of brothers married a pair of sisters, and they were all Kohanim. Before I should bring down, they were very, very concerned about their lineage. They wanted to make sure they had pure lineage, and Kohen lineage is more pure than Yisrael's lineage. So therefore, they bedavka married a Kohenes, a Bas Kohen. And in fact, that is brought down, that ideally a Kohen should marry a Bas Kohenes. Lebaiso, we don't follow that or even try to do that necessarily, l'chachila, but in order to make sure that the lineages were pure, so they would do so. And that's why the Marsha brings down over here that it was called gufnis, to show over here that it is good zivug over here for a Kohen to marry a Bas Kohen. And they were very medactic to do so. And gufnis represents over here the idea of in ve hagefen. The gufnis over here is coming from the lashon of the vines are mingling over here together, and that will have a good success rate. We use this expression in ve hagefen, bein ve hagefen, when we talk about a zivug that should be eilazayin yofet, that it should be a good marriage, a good opportunity over here. So that's why the daf called gufnis, to allude to the vine. And the binyan the ends over here, that we're telling us the details over here to show us that this was a real din, and they really tried to do this. And from the next part of the story, where they said that they no longer did this afterwards, because they already were following the famous Gezeira of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that said that one shouldn't have two brothers marrying two sisters. So at the time of the Gemara originally, that wasn't yet extant. But subsequently, as we're going to learn now in a moment, in the Gemara, they actually followed that. So therefore, let's continue the Gemara. Ubadku Rabbanim Surah Yad Nardoi. At that time, this was the only place in Gufnis where they did this. In the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they checked from Surah until Nardoi, all over the Golus. For Ashachu, they didn't find anywhere where two brothers married two sisters, bar, except Mibnase de Rav Chista. The daughters were Chista. Rav Chista was a Kohen, and his daughters were Bas Kohens. Davin and Sivan, L'Rami Bar Chama, L'Maruk Bar Chama. They married the Bar Chama brothers, Rami and Ukva. Aye, then a kohanim, v'afogav inu havikahanta, even though the girls of Rav Chista were kohanim, bas kohens, inu, the boys over here, lo havu kahani. Nevertheless, they married very well, and the idea, the Ben Yehuda says over here, tells us that already at this time, people didn't have two brothers marry two sisters. Amarav, kol suda shein ba melach, eno suda, any meal that doesn't have melach in it is not considered a meal. The bringing of salt out there makes it a meal. Amarachia, I also pointed out previously that the word salt is coming, the word salary comes from the word salt, because salt in those days was a very, very important item, and people would get paid in salt. That's where we get the word salary from, because salt was a preservative. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have all sorts of ways to preserve the food, and therefore salt was a very important preservative, and it allowed food to last for a long period of time. In any event, they would often salt things. And this was something that was important that made it into a suda. If you didn't have salt, it wasn't a real suda. Or others have the gears of sraf. And on the side, he brings down from the aruch. Pirish, shemefig es hamaychol shebimayim. It goes to somehow neutralize the digestive process over here that's going on in your stomach. If you don't have soup, ain't a suda. It's not considered a good meal. The Shar Mitzvah Baloch says it's not considered a suda chashuva, and he points out this is the minog that people have soup at a sudas mitzvah, and especially on Shabbos and Yontif. The old idea of having chicken soup on Shabbos and Yontif is based upon, and to a certain extent, this concept over here, this minog of having sraf to make it into a chashuva suda. Again, the Shar Mitzvah Baloch said that this entire Gemara here is a Tamiya Dika Gemara. It's a very, very unusual Gemara, and he says that he brings out the name of the Rashba, the Tzlach, and others. The Chazal Dibru over here, that the Chazal taught us over here in all sorts of Ramazim and all sorts of secret ideas over here, the Sodos Gedolos, and the one thing that we can get from this is the love that we should have for Eretz Yisrael. A beautiful idea. Next Mishnah. If a person had these species of the Zayin Minim, he had grapes, he had figs, he had pomegranates, so you make a bracha beforehand, and you make a bracha achrona. The bracha achrona that you make beforehand is easy, that's the bar pia eitz, and afterwards the Mishnah tells us over here, you make, according to Rabban Gamliel, benching. Mavarach achareim shalosh brachos. Shalosh brachos is the word that we use for the three brachos, the araisa of benching. There's a fourth bracha, the rabbanon, atol b'meitiv, but we refer to benching as shalosh brachos. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Gamliel holds, we'll see in the Gemara, based upon psukim, that a person has to bench when he has any of the zayin meaning. The chachamim omrim, the chachamim disagree. And the chachamim say, no, you make bracha achas mein shalosh. You make bracha achas, which we call the bracha achas mein shalosh over here. Some are in Goris, the word mein shalosh, but you make one bracha, which is the classical ala michyo, or ala eitz, or ala gefen. That's the opinion of the chachamim. That's, of course, how we paskin. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says, unbelievable. Afilu ochal shalok, even if you just have stewed vegetables, the humazona, but that's your meal. So the pasuk says, yochalta v'savata u'mirachta. Mavarach alav gimel brachos. You have to bench, even if you ate anything that's filling you up, even if it's not from the Zayin Minim, like Rabbi Gamliel, or certainly if it's not only pas, like the Chacham. He says, anything that fills you up, it's mezono, you bench on it. Then the Mishnah says, Ashos amayim l'tzoma, if a person drinks water for thirst, as opposed to if a person, the Gemara will say, if he drinks water, let's say they take a pill like I discussed the other day, or because you have a choking sensation and you want to just clear your throat, so then if you're not drinking it for thirst, you don't make a bracha. But when you're drinking water for thirst, You make a bracha rishon, a shakol nevivor. And Rabbi Tarfon says, Omer, bari nefashos, rabos b'chesronot. He says you make a bari nefashos as the bracha rishona, not as the bracha achrona. You make a bracha as the bracha rishona, bari nefashos, not shahakol, when you drink water. Of course, we don't pass like this, Rabbi Tarfon, but we do make a bari nefashos if you drink the shir after you drink water, and the Gemara will discuss this as well. Gemara starts off and says, my time, Rabbi Gamliel, where did Rabbi Gamliel get his idea over here that you make benching on any one of the Zion Minim, because he says, the Pasuk says, Eretz Chita V'Sar V'Gomen, the Pasuk lists the seven species that Eretz Israel is known for. We had this Pasuk in yesterday's Gemara. And then it says, after that, Eretz Asher Lo B'Meskinus Tochal Bo Lechem V'Gomer. And then it says, Yochal V'Sivot V'Rachtes Hashem L'Kecha. So Rabbi Gamliel says, it goes on the Eretz Chita Sora, Gethen, Tainam, Rimon, Erezeh, Shemen, Udavash. So it goes on all Zion Minim. I, the Rabbanon, they say Eretz, when it says Eretz, Asher lo b'mesikinus tochal bo lechem, is hifsiko inyan, and that separates out all of the Zion minim from having to be yachalta v'savata v'rachta, and only if you have bread do you make yachalta v'savata v'rachta. Gamliel nami Eretz hifsik. No, what does Gamliel do with that? That's a taka, a good thing that the Chacham said, that the Eretz is mafsik, so it's hifsiko inyan. So he says, how mi boyalei lemute akosis is achita. He says, no, that's to tell you that if you eat the grains in the normal way, then you have to bench on it. But if you chew them, so then you only make a bari piadama on it, that's not considered something that's the normal way, and then you wouldn't bench on it chewing the wheat. But if you have any of the Zion minim, then you do have to bench on it. That's what Gamliel shita. And this is the halacha l'maisa. Says if you have it from the five grains, not as bread, but if you just have a mazonos, so then you make a mazonos on them beforehand, and you make an al hamichya on it afterwards. And that, of course, is the halacha l'maisa. There's a whole question amongst the poskim: is this midoraisa or midrabanan? And surprisingly, there is an opinion, the Rashba, for example, and others, that say it is the araisa that you make an alamichya. So there is really this additional bracha called alamichya that's a bracha deraisa. We always have birchas haTorah and benching, and according to the Rashba and others, it would even include over here alhamichya. Some say it's only on michya and not on eitz or gefen that he says it's deraisa. In any event, whether it's deraisa, the Rabbanan has some nafkamina, but practically, lechatchila, we obviously say it. I'm a Rabbi Bar Mori. Arishuben Levi, Koshu Mishivas Haminim. Anything that's from the Shivas Haminim, not from the grains, from the other Shivas Haminim. Betchila, beforehand, you make Bar Piyetz, Baruch Bar Piyetz. Ulubisov, you make Bracha Achas Min Sholosh. You make the Al Ha'etz, Nusach of Alamichya. So therefore, you have to make the Bracha Achron on that, and that's how we paskin. What exactly is this bracha achas mein sholosh? What exactly is this alamichya alu eitz type of a bracha? So he said, Amalei, aperi de eitz on fruits, from the zayin minim, you make the bracha, bracha tashem lakenu melchulam, alu eitz, v'al pri eitz. And now he's going to go through the nusach of what we say is alu eitz or alamichya. We have slight deviations from this in our practical nusach lemaisa, but essentially it's the same over here. And you say, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this parallels the three brachos of benching, including the fourth brach of benching, which is the Rabbanan. You'll see parts of this, a little bit dispute as to exactly which parts are which, but basically each part of this bracha is kineged, one of the brachos of benching, one of the three slash four brachos of benching. So you have over here, again, this should be very familiar to people, the Nusach of the Bracha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the produce from the fields of Eretz Yisrael and on this wonderful land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So the first part was Al Hazon HaSakol, and now we're going into the second Bracha, Al Oretz Al Hamazon, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us this wonderful land. The first Bracha was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu, the second Bracha in benching was put together by Yeshua, and the third Bracha was by David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. And now we go into the fourth, the third Bracha, Rachim Hashem Elokeinu Ha'Yisrael HaMelech. And we have on the side it says, and we have the gear to Kiyatah Tova Meitiv, and on the side it says, Kiyatah Hashem Tova Meitiv. And this Tova Meitiv, now we go into the fourth bracha, the bracha of the Rabbanan, a Tova Meitiv. Now, we say this, Nusach, or something very, very close to this, Halacha L'maisa. Then it says, you say, L'kolk b'chameshes haminim alamichyo v'alakakola. You have a similar Nusach, which just begins with alamichyo v'alakakola, and then you continue when you have the five grains, and it's not bread, so then you make a barimin and zonos beforehand, and you make the alamichyo, if you have the shear. Again, all of these, you have to have the shear. For the bracha achrona, for the bracha rishona, even without the pachas mikah shear, there is no shear. Any taste, you have to make a bracha on, because you can't get any hanor from this world without a bracha. But the bracha achrona, so you have to have the minimal shear. So assuming you ate the minimal shear, then for cookies, you have alamichyo, alakakola, v'yatnuvas asodeh, etc., etc., v'chule. And you end off, v'chosim, Baruch Atah Hashem al Oretz v'al Hamichya. That's how you ended off. There is an opinion that says you ended off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam al Oretz v'al Hamichya, but we don't paskin that way. Then they ask, well, you told me the answer for over here, the al Hamichya. What about Michta b'may Chosim for the eights and al Priya eights? So Kiyosu Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came from Eretz, so he said the name of Rav, Chosim, we learn that on Rosh Chodesh, when you conclude your bracha on Rosh Chodesh, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Roshi Chadoshim. So you're Mekadesh Yisrael, who are Mekadesh, the Roshi Chadoshim, because you're not allowed to end off with two things. So it's really one idea over here. So he says, Hochamai, when you end off the Al Eitz V'Al Pri Eitz, how do you end off that bracha? So Rav Chisda says, Amar Al Oretz V'Al Peroseh. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land that gives forth its fruit. So that's what Rav Chisda said. Now Rav Chisda came from Babel, and he said, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land of Eretz Yisrael and the Peros of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan Amar, you say, Al Oretz V'Al Peros. You thank Hashem for the land and for its fruit. Now, that's a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to question this. It says, Rabbi Yochanan came from Eretz Yisrael. He's saying, you just bless Hashem generically for the land and for the peros. And Rabbi Chisda came from Babel, said, you bless Hashem for Eretz Yisrael and the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm a Rav Amram, below Pligi. He says, no, they're not arguing. They're saying the same thing. Halon v'haluho. Depends where you are. When you're in Babel, so this first version, the way we have it, is that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, of course you mean the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to specifically mention it. But that's a little bit backwards. And the Gemara says, Masuk law, Rav Nachum Yitzchak. He says, wait a second. Inhu achle v'anon mevarachin. In Eretz Yisrael, they're eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and they don't specifically mention Eretz Yisrael. And we, who aren't eating the stomach of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we specifically mention the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, that's not right. Elo epoch. He says, you have to switch it around. In Eretz Yisrael, so they say, Alo Oretz, the Al Peros Seho. And in Chutz Laretz, we say, Alo Oretz, Vial Peros. And that indeed is what the Gemara says over here now. Switch it around. Elo epoch. Rav Chisda Amar Al Oretz, Vial Peros. He said in Babel that you say on the land and on the fruit, because you're eating fruits of Babel. So you can't really praise the land of Eretz Yisrael. So you're praising Hashem for giving you fruits. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to say over here specifically on the land and on its fruits because they're in Eretz Yisrael. We continue to the Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Mishum Rabbeinu. Who is this Rabbeinu? So this is Rav. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, Al HaBeya, on eggs, right? Beitza is the way we pronounce it, but in Aramaic it's Beya, the whole Masech, the Beitza, Beya, the whole discussion about how you call it. So in any way, Al HaBeya, on an egg, V'al Mine Kufra, Rashi says Kufra is Kol Mine Basar, so on eggs and on meat, Betchila, the bracha rishona is mevaro shakol niyavivaro, and v'sof, and the bracha achrona is bari nefashos rabbis chesronim v'chule. So you make the, as we do, this is halacha lemaisa. Avol, he says, this is not halacha lemaisa. He says, his opinion of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is avol yarka lo. But on vegetables, you make a bracha rishona, but you don't make a bracha achrona. No bari nefashos on vegetables. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, no, afilu yarka. You make a bari nefashos on vegetables after you eat them, if you eat the shear, avol maya lo, but not for water. And Rav Papa disagrees with that. The Rav Papa Amar, and this is the halacha lemaisa, afilu maya. We make, if you drink the shear, or you eat the shear of vegetables, or certainly if you eat the shear of eggs and meat, and all of them, we make a bari nefashos afterwards. Now, why is this so? Why is this machlokas? Three machlokas over here. So the tzlach brings down a beautiful idea. He says each one is going down a level. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said over here that meat and eggs represent that you're not going to have the next generation. You're eating the animal, so it won't reproduce more. The eggs, they won't reproduce more. So you have to thank Hashem. You need, so to say, asking Hashem, go and fill in, replenish, Borei Nefoshos Rabos, V'chestronan, fill in their replacements. Along comes the next opinion, Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, Yarka. He says, vegetables also, when you uproot them, so even though it's not alive, but now you need to go plant new ones in its place. And the water, that Rav Papa says, even though it's the same water as from Isa Bereshis, nevertheless, you still have to thank Hashem for it. So that's the understanding, according to the Tzlach, beautiful, of these three reasons why you do or do not say Borei Nefoshos for each one. Marzutra Ovid Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Marzutra followed the opinion of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Notice Marzutra is single, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is double, two. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. And Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, which is two, Rav Shimi and Bar Ashi, Ovid Rav Yitzchak, he followed one. And the way to remember this, again, they did this all by heart, B'simonech, how do you remember who said what? Chad Kitrei V'Trei Kechad. The individual over here, Marzutra, singular, followed the opinion of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the two names. And Rav Shimi Barashi, which was the two names, Ovid Rav Yitzchak followed the one name. That's Chad Kitrei, Trei Kuchad. I'm Rav Ashi, Ano Zimno Dechi Midkarani. When I remember to do so, Avid No Kikulu. I follow all three opinions. In other words, I will remember to go make a Bari Nefashos on all of these opinions when I remember to do so. Everybody asks, what do you mean when you remember to do so? So the Chadash Gan Mishnah brings down a beautiful idea. He says he would go out of his way to make sure over here that he ate all of them, so he wouldn't get into the smachlokis and have, well, I just had water. So if he had water, he would try to have some meat or eggs, or maybe at least fruit, to go and make sure that he's not getting involved in the smachlokis. The Divri Chamudos brings down from the tour, he says that one bari nefashos over here, the chiddush over here, is kompati many items. Let's say you have water, so you might have thought, you have to make a separate bari nefashos of water. Then you have an egg, you have to make a separate bari nefashos on the eggs. He says, no, that you can make one bari nefashos and be pater over here all of these things. Any ha'etz, any ha'adama, and any shahako, you can pater with all of them. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Nida, Kol Shetan Bracha Liachrov, Ton Bracha Lefonim. Anything that requires a bracha afterwards certainly needs a bracha in front of it as well. The Tosos over there in Nida says, what about Tefillah? Tefillah, you're making a bracha afterwards, so you don't make a bracha before the Tefillah. Here's an example, something you make a bracha afterwards, not beforehand. So Tosos there points out that technically you should have made the bracha before the Tefillah, but you weren't tar at that point in time, so therefore you were Gavra Lo Chazi, and therefore you make it afterwards. But really it should be beforehand, so it's not an exception to the rule. Then he says, V'yesh ton bracha lefanim, but there are situations where you only make a bracha lefanim, v'ein ton bracha liachrov, you don't make a bracha afterwards. Now, Bishlam or Yisrael or Adimi, that works out very well, that he just said you only make it on eggs and on meat, so then lafuke as opposed to yarka, you don't make a bracha chron on vegetables. Oh, here's an example, you make a bar piyadam beforehand, but you don't make a bar nefashos afterwards, according to Rav Yitzchak Bardimi. And it works out well, Rav Yitzchak, lafuke mai, he says you make it on vegetables, and you don't make it on water. El Rav Papa, lafuke mai, where is there an example where you make a bracha rishona, and you don't make a bracha chron? He says even on water you make a bracha chron. So mai, lafuke mitzvos, you take a lulav and etzog, you don't make a bracha afterwards on it. You take tefillin, you don't make a bracha afterwards on it. Nudimar says, well, they, my rabbi, the boss of the Masakit Filayu, Mevarche, Asher Kichon, Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Nulishmar Chukov, is based upon Psukim, so they would wear their tefillin all day long, and therefore when they would take him off, because they held that Laila is Lazman Tefillinu, so they made a bracha that now you have to take off your tefillin. So here, how can you tell me mitzvah, you don't make a bracha afterwards? Here you do. Lafuke mai, so then what is he coming to exclude? Because they make a bracha afterwards on mitzvahs. The Mefarshim point out over here, but what about the other mitzvahs that you don't make a bracha afterwards on them? So therefore, they bring down that first of all, some people did make a bracha even afterwards. So they would make a bracha, lishmor tzitzis, after they would take off their tzitzis. So some have that girsa. They wouldn't make the lishmor chukah, but they would make another bracha. That's what the Mordechai says. And the Marek Cohen brings down an answer to Tosus, because Tosus says over here, why don't we say lafuke mai, we say lafuke rechani, so why don't you say lafuke all the other mitzvahs? So the Marek Cohen brings down that in Eretz Yisrael, they were in fact the ones that made the bracha, lishmar tzitzis, etc. And that's why Tosus' question can be answered. In any event, all Gemara gives a different eretz. My lafuke rechani. That's the example would be that on reyach you only make a bracha beforehand, barimim b'samim, asvi b'samim, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. So everybody asks, why not? So why don't we do it? So the Rashbah gives an answer that it's pachas b'kashir. The bracha rishon over here, you make even pachas b'kashir, but there is no shir for how much you have to smell, and therefore afterwards, you have to have a bracha achrona, and therefore smell doesn't have mamashes to it, and therefore you don't make a bracha achrona on it. He says as well, that's why you don't make a shechiyon on it, because it's not considered substantive enough. Mark continues and says, Amar Rav Yanai, Amar Rav, Kol Shu Kibetza, whenever you're eating a food, and you're eating a kibetza's worth of that food, it ain't going to be as good as a beitza. Beitza tova mimenu. So if you have a choice of eating an egg's worth of something, or an egg, so then eat the egg. That's more healthy, that's better for you. No, we're going to now explain this a little bit more. Kiyasa Rabbi, Rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar, Tava Beyasa, an egg is much better, Migulasa, if the egg is Migulasa. What does it mean, Migulasa? So the Maharsha explains over here, you're talking about, it's a cooked egg over here, and it doesn't spin. Rashi says, it doesn't spin. Rashi says that it's Sluya, Lacha, it's lightly roasted over here, and therefore it doesn't spin like an uncooked egg. In any event, this is so good, it's better than Mishiso Kaisei Sulta. It's better than having six measures. A Kaisei, Rashi says over here, is a certain midah that holds a lug. So it's better than having six lugs worth of flour. That's how the egg is better, six times better than flour. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar, Tava Biyasa Megulasa Mishiso. He agreed the same thing. He said, an egg that is cooked over here is better than six measures, Mishiso. Mat Biyasa, if you roasted it over here, Rashi says, Tzluya Kosha, he says it's hard-boiled, it's roasted better, that's better than Me'arba, than four measures over here, four lug over here of Soles. And Mevushalsa, if you cooked it over here, then Kolshu Kibetza, Beitza Tov Mimenu. If you're cooking anything, and it's a beitza's worth over here, so then the egg is better than anything else. But here, that's what we said before, that we said an egg versus something that's the size of an egg, it's better to have the eggs. He said that's only if you're talking about the egg that's cooked, that is mavushal. But if it was roasted or slightly roasted, then it's even better. The one exception to this, labami bisra. Meat is better than eggs. So if you have the choice of an egg or meat, then take the meat. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva holds, afilu achal sholak b'chule. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva omer, afilu achal sholak. If you eat stewed vegetables, you make a benching on it. So one says, omika, midit, avi sholak mizone. Is there anything that you stew it? It really is so tasty and delicious that it's called mizonos, that it's filling you up. So Rashi, yeah, bekelach sholkur, with the stalk of a cabbage, shanu. That is good. Tanarabanan, we learn additional things. Gemara in Shabbos says, Tichol, Yofel Lishinayim, Vekoshel B'nayim. Tol is the spleen. If you eat the meat of the spleen, you take an animal and you cook the spleen from the animal that you shechted, so that's good for your teeth, but it's bad for the B'nayim Yayim. Creation, Rashi tells us over here, the creation over here are leeks, karsi. So he says, that's Koshel Lishinayim, that's bad for the teeth, but it's good for the stomach. Yofel B'nayim Yayim. Then he tells us, Kol Yerek Chai Morik. Anytime you eat a raw vegetable, that's bad for you. It makes you green. The chol katan makdin, and if you eat immature types of things, we'll explain all of these in a moment, so I'm just reading the words right now, that's going to make you smaller. The chol nefesh, if you eat living things, meshiv is a nefesh, so that's good for health. Again, we'll explain all of this. It doesn't mean to eat them while they're alive. The chol karv lenefesh, and anything that's near the mokum shchita, that's what karv lenefesh will mean, meshiv is a nefesh. That's also restoring, it restores vitality. And it tells us then, kruv is good for mazon, and tardin are good lerefuah. And we'll explain all of these things in a moment. And then it says, Oilo lebayis shalefes overes besocha. Rashi says, bayis means your house, means yourself, not the house. So therefore he says, if a person goes and eats lefes, that's bad for the person. Woe is to that person. Now we'll examine each of these things. Amar, we're going to go back and dissect each of these things. We said, tchol yofel lishinayim, because of the imayim, the spleen is good for your teeth, but it's bad for your intestines. So what should you do? How do you get it into your teeth without getting it into your intestines? So maitakante, what should you do? So nil asos, so chew it well, and then nishtaya and spit it out. Then we said the creation of kosher lishinayim. They're bad for the teeth to have over here this karsi, these leeks, but they're good for the b'mayim. How do you get them into your stomach? Maitakante, how do you get them by the teeth? So it's like linu, go and stew it very, very well, so it's very, very soft. Then you can swallow it whole without having to chew it. Vilavininlu, and this way it won't hurt your teeth. Then it said, kol yerichai morik, eating raw vegetables is bad for you. It makes you green. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bisuda Rishona Shal Achar HaKozah. He's talking specifically about the first meal that you have after you have a phlebotomy. Again, they used to have these bloodlettings all the time, and it was dangerous to have raw vegetables as your first meal after that. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, he said the first statement. He said another statement. If you eat before you have your meal in the morning, if you have raw vegetables, is the first thing. Also, you shouldn't speak to such a person. Why? My time on. Because he had very bad breath. So Mepharshim say, so what? Somebody has bad breath. What's the big deal? So it teaches us a very important idea over here, that a person has to be nishmartim otis nafshos sechem. The Chadoshim Kamishon brings down, you're over on Baal Tishatsu, or you're over on nishmartim otis nafshos sechem. If you come into contact with somebody with bad breath, they can either make you sick, or it's just not a nice thing, and therefore you should stay away from such a person. A third statement that Rabbi Yitzchak made, Rabbi Yitzchak, also liyodim shiyocha, riag chai kodim arbishos. You're not allowed to eat this yourself. For what we just said, you're not allowed to talk to somebody. Here says, you're not allowed to eat it yourself over here. These three great Amorayim, Abu Yasve, they were sitting together, and Isaac Kamayer Yerek Chai called them Arbishos, and this was the first thing they gave them in the morning before they ate. They used to eat by 4 hours, and they gave them raw vegetables beforehand. So two of the Amorayim, Amay Ravashi, Ochel, they ate it. Umazutra lo Ochel, he didn't eat it. Now they said to him, wait a second, Amulei, these two Amorayim, Amay Ravashi, said to Mazutra, they said to him, my daito, what are you thinking over here? Do you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak? The Amor Rabbi Yitzchak, call Ochel Yerek, called them Arbishos, also the Sapri Menem Shum Recha, that you're not allowed to go and speak to somebody over here if they have eaten raw vegetables or they have bed reyach, but va'anan the koachlinam, but we ate them. The koamishtayis ma'adon, and you've been sitting here with us, eating us. So therefore, you're obviously not concerned about Yitzchak. So why did you eat the raw vegetables? She said, I'm only concerned. I'm a Louis. Told him, I know Kidak Yitzchak. I was only concerned about the other statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Sirle, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak also lo adam shiochal yera called them arbishos. I didn't eat them. The fact that you ate them, I could tolerate that, but I won't eat them myself. Then the next thing is called katan makdin. If you eat a small thing, an immature thing, so then that's not good. It's going to diminish you. So Amar Chisa, what are you talking about? This is afilu gadja barzuza, even a very, very small goat that's only worth a zuz. Don't even eat that. Below Amarin, and we only said, however, you shouldn't eat such a small thing, El Deles Be River, if it doesn't have a river. What is that? So Rashi explains over here. Shalo Godal Adriviishlo. It didn't grow to a quarter of its full eventual growth. For example, a very small sheep over here, it hasn't grown to the revius of an isle, of a ram. Or a gidi, a goat, it hasn't grown to the revius of the adult goat. And the same thing is for everything. So if it hasn't grown to a fourth, that's what we're talking about. Awal Isbe River, but if it's grown to a fourth, even though it's small, less than but there's no concern. Then we said, "Kol nefesh meishiv nefesh," eating a life that restores life. So what does that mean? Amar Papa, afilu gildani devei gili. Even this little small fish that are, again, you're eating them when they're dead. You're eating them after they've been shechted, if it's something that requires shlita. But if they're very small little fish that are dead, so you're allowed to go and eat them. Even if they're little type of fish that run around in the swamps over there, and they're amongst the reeds, so he said that is good for a person, that's healthy for a person as well. Then it says, "Kol akarv l'nefesh meishiv l'nefesh." If somebody eats something that's near the nefesh, near the place of the shechita, that restores life. So what is this? Amar Rav bar Yaakov, unka. This is referring over here to the unka. Rashi says this is savar makom beis shechita, the neck where they do the shechita. It's near the heart, near the intestines. Eating that type of meat is very good, very healthy. Amar Rav l'shami. Rav told the shamis, "Im aisis li umtsa de bisra." When you bring me meat, tarach, go and trouble yourself. Aisli mehecha de mikrav lebei baruch. Try to get me specifically the meat that's near the makom shechita. That's very healthy. Then we said kruv is good l'mazon and tardin a good l'refuah. So that implies kruv is only good for mazon. In l'refuah lo, it's not good for medicinal purposes. V'atanya, we learned in the Gemara, later on in the Masechta, and also in Avodah Zarah, shishavar mirapin et sacholah. Six things are very good for a person who's sick, and they heal him from his cholio, from his sickness. Rufasin rufuah, and that's a real good rufuah. Veilvein, what are these things? So we're going to list actually seven over here if you follow the girsa that we have in the Gemara. So some are going to change around the word dvash to yovesh. You can see this in the Gilyan Hashas as well. So I'll read it with the girsa that dvash is not dvash, it should be yovesh. So number one is kruv, eating cabbage. Vitardin, eating beets. Umesisin, Rashi says mesisin is a certain type of a tafshil. It's a type of a grass tafshil, the Metagram says. This pulio is a certain type of a grass. And it's mesisin yovesh, that's dried up, not dvash. The keva, and if you eat the stomach, the haris, that's the womb, the yoseris akavi, that's the diaphragm. All six of these things, when you eat them, they're healthy for a person. So you clearly see the kruv is healthy for a person. So how can you say it's not good for refuah? Smor says you're right. L.A. makruv is not only good af l'mazon, it's good over here for mazon and refuah. So it's not only refuah, it's even good for mazon. Then we said, oil labai is what was to the person shall lefes over his besocho that eats lefes. Who says, really? Is that so? Vamalei Rava l'shami. Rava said to Shamis, when you go to the store, kichaz lifta b'shuka, you find lefes, you find these turnips over here. Lo taimali b'may karech the rifta. Don't ask me what I want to put on my bread. I obviously want to put the lefes on it. So how can you tell me that it's bad? You see, clearly Rava said it's very good. So Rabbi explained, mibli basa. When we said it's bad, it's if you don't have it with meat. But if you put the turnips with the meat, they absorb the taste of the meat. So then it's very good. The Rabbi said, "I'm a bilayin. It's if you don't have it with wine. But if you have it with wine, it's good." Similarly, we have Idma Rav. Rav said that the term is a bit only mibli basa, if you don't have it with meat. Ushmol amar mibli etzim, if you don't cook it a lot. If you cook it a lot, you put in a lot of firewood, so then it's also good. Rav Yochanan amar mibli yain, it's only dangerous if you don't have it with wine. So again, these three amarayim, similar to what we said with basa yain, we add on wood over here. Amalei Rav le Rapapa, Rav said to Rapapa, Sudni, he called him Sudni. Rashi says he's a beer maker, and that's why he's called Sudni over here. Others explain that he was a big Talmud Chacham. The Aruch says on the side he was a Yori Shemayim. It says Sod Hashem li Ureyev, and that's why he was called Sudni. In any event, Rava said to Rav Papa, Anan, Tavrinu lo bebisu v'chaimer. We have meat or wine after we have the turnips. But you, Asun, you guys that don't have that, you have beer. You don't have a lot of wine, you have beer. But my Tavrisu lo, how do you go and make the lefes okay and not dangerous? So Amalei says, Mitzibi, we put in a lot of wood, we put in a lot of firewood. Like Shmuel had said, if you put in a lot of firewood, then it's not a problem. And he says, Kiho the divisu the rapapa, rapapa's wife, she herself would do this. Basi the vash law, when she would go make him the turnips over here, the lepes, tavro law, she would make him healthy over here, bitamnin ufi parsiosa. She would put in 80 big logs over here of wood, and that's how the lepes would not be dangerous. Tana Rabban, we continue with the Brisa says, Dok katun maliach, you have a salted fish, pa'amim shu memis, it can be very dangerous. And this is talking about 7 days after the salting, b'shiva, or b'shiva asar, 17 days after the salting, or b'asim b'shiva, 27 days after the salting, b'amalei, b'asim b'shol, shall say 23 days after the salting. But we only said it's dangerous, lo amor, ne'le matvei, velo matvei. It's when it's partially roasted, but not fully roasted. Avo matvei, shapir, less than one. But if you roast it well, then it's not dangerous at all. And even if you don't roast it well, velo matvei, shapir, it's only dangerous, lo amorin, el the lo shasa basrei shikra, if you didn't have beer after it. But if you had beer after it, avo shasa basrei shikra, less lumba, then there's no problem with it as well. The Gemara concludes and says, Vahashda mayim litzamo v'chulei. We said in the Mishnah that you drink water for thirst, you make a shakal on it. And Rabbi Tarvin said you make a bari nefashos on it, as a bracha rishona. So as opposed to lafuke mai, when else would you drink water? Don't you always drink water for thirst? The Gemara says, no, obviously not. Amar Ravidi Barav, and he says, lafuke leman dechan kose. For somebody who's choking, and he's drinking the water, he's choking on a piece of meat, dechan kose umtsa. So he's trying to clear his throat over here to get it down. So then, in that situation, he's not thirsty, he's not interested in the water, he's interested in the medicinal purposes. And this is like taking a pill, for example, the water that you drink in this situation, you don't make a shahakol on it. Finally, we conclude from the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bari Nefashos Avos Chazon. He said he make a bracha Rishona called Bari Nefashos on water. How do we paskin? Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanun Labai, Amalei Rabbi Yosef. How do we paskin over here? Hilchos Amai, what is the halacha? So he says, Amalei, Puk Chazim Ayam Adabar. This is a very famous expression. Go out and see what the people do. It's Rashi says, Hech Nogim, because Mistama Klaisol is doing it right. And he says, "Ukrai nogu levarach b'tchilo shakol niyabidvaro ulbasov bari nefashos rabbis chasonun al kol mashabora." And that is, in fact, aloch lamaitza. If you taste water for thirst purposes, so even if you have a small amount, you make a shakol niyabidvaro. And if you have a shear, a revius, then afterwards you make a brach achrona bari nefashos. Hadron alecha ketzad mevarchin. Hadron alecha ketzad mevarchin. Hadron alecha ketzad mevarchin.